Welcome to Centero Speaks, a podcast featuring Centero staff members who share their insight about Centero values, programs, and services, and their impact on the surrounding community, work environment, and culture. I'm your host, Mariah Beidelman, and today I'm joined by Centero Diversity and Inclusion Coordinator, Carita Cardozo. Carita will discuss Centero's burgeoning diversity and inclusion program, as well as the need for cultural humility to serve the needs of diverse community members. Carita, thanks for joining the show today. Can you please provide a brief overview of your position and the diversity and inclusion program at Centero?
Yes, well, thank you for having me today. The diversity and inclusion program coordinator is a relatively new position to our organization. The position was created last fall following the 2020 protests after the murder of George Floyd, which really shone a light on the inequities that continue to impact the Black community, but also all communities of color and minority groups impacted by systemic racism. Centero responded quickly by creating discussion groups for all staff and opening up a dialogue, trying to create a safe space for staff to process, but also figure out steps moving forward. The Diversity and Inclusion Program Coordinator position was created so that as an organization, we can continue to make strides forward, that we are focused on creating an inclusive environment for the community to get mental health services that take into consideration the needs of marginalized populations. But it's also a priority that our staff is competent in providing these services. Competence is not a one-and-done checkbox. It's ongoing staff training, it's discussions, and engagement. With our LGBTQ plus coordinator, Michael Eblin, together, we are working to revamp our orientation process for new staff with a focus on facilitating conversations and increasing all of our staff's competence across all areas. Currently, we have two new groups starting. We've got Melanin Moms, which is a support group for BIPOC moms starting July 6th. So every Tuesday night at 5 o'clock. And then we also have a teen support group for youth ages 12 to 17. And we're probably going to push that out around the start of the new school year, since sometimes it's difficult getting kiddos engaged in the summer. So we're looking to push that out closer, you know, into the fall.
Thanks, Carita. Can you tell me a little bit about how culture impacts mental health care in minority communities?
Sure. Racial, ethnic, gender, and sexual minorities often suffer from poor mental health outcomes due to multiple factors. Some of these factors are really just inaccessibility of high-quality mental health care services. There's also a cultural stigma surrounding mental health care, discrimination, and overall lack of awareness about mental health, and a lot of community seeking mental health help is seen as a weakness. You know, in some cultures, it's encouraged to go to church to pray on it rather than seek out mental health treatment. So they're not necessarily going to be even thinking in terms of, okay, I'm depressed. I need to go see somebody. They're going to think, okay, let me talk to my pastor, which is a great option. But also sometimes, you know, you may need some other resources and services.
So what are some ways people can break the stigma surrounding mental health care for themselves or a loved one?
I think a lot of times there's just a lack of understanding of symptoms of mental health, you know, and some people may not even be recognizing some of these emotional symptoms or talking about these things with others. So sometimes they're not seeking treatment until it's really severe. You know, I think it's important to have conversations around mental health in general and to normalize not being okay. Talking about feelings and expressing your emotions is so important, just kind of creating that normalization for people. For me as a parent, about emotions all the time in our house, you know, and there's a lot of sentences to start with, I feel. And I try to make sure my kiddos are really emotionally aware of their feelings and feel safe in expressing them with us. And, you know, as a parent, I'm just trying to keep that as a normal process for them. And so as more parents are fully kind of engaging in these types of conversations at home, and that's translating into, you know, people having more conversations out in the world.
That's a great approach. Can you tell us some of the barriers to mental health treatment for BIPOC communities in particular?
Sure. I think it's really important for minorities to be represented in the mental health field, you know, to increase our visibility and percentages in the field of social work, counseling, psychology, psychiatry. Currently, there's very low percentages of professionals in the field. There's only 4% of psychologists currently are Black in the field in the U.S., 5% are Latinx, and that's 2% of psychiatrists being in the field being Black right now. So that's a huge disparity when you consider that 13% of our population is Black and 18% is Latinx, but yet we've got such a small amount represented as professionals. So I think that, you know, that's part of that stigma. But also, I think there's also that lack of access to services. So that could even mean, you know, having health insurance, access to transportation to get to appointments, or flexibility in your schedule, you know, to be able to schedule those appointments. I think there's an overall kind of lack of diversity in mental health providers, which can create mistrust or feelings of being misunderstood or unseen, you know, when you're going in for those appointments.
So do you have any advice for anyone who may see a therapist or a counselor who may not look like them, just so they can start the relationship on common ground, so people have an idea of people's backgrounds? Is there a way people should start that conversation?
Engaging in mental health treatment is a very vulnerable position to be in. And entering that environment, we want to feel seen, represented. We want to be understood, or at least feel like we're being understood. You know, we don't want to have to code switch when we're in the therapist's office. You know, I don't want to have to stop and break down all of these microaggressions for you, or have to hear, oh, well, you know, maybe they didn't mean it that way. So I think really just increasing mental health professionals' cultural humility, being aware that, like, they may not know everything, and they're showing up and they're present and they're supporting, and they're saying, I may not understand that, but I'm here with you and supporting you.
Well, thanks, Karita. That's great advice, I think, for members of the minority communities and also therapists who may not be a part of those communities. I think that's a great place to start, and, you know, a place of learning from each side so everyone can grow together.
Yeah, I just want to say, you know, I really appreciate this opportunity to talk about minorities and mental health and to spotlight those barriers that we're coming across. You know, we have to be uncomfortable, you know, having these conversations. It's okay to feel uncomfortable and really zero in on this on those areas that need work, you know, in order to make progress. So if we can inspire one person to get help, to access services, to think critically about how they're showing up for their BIPOC clients, you know, then we did our job.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Karita.
Thank you. Take care.
For more information, visit www.centero.org.